Fantasy football is back, and you don't want your team to suck. My favorite fantasy football punishment I've ever heard is the last place guy had to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House, and every waffle he ate was 1 hour off of his count.
I want numbers. How many did he end up eating?
12 waffles in 12 hours. I'm Danny Heifetz.
I'm Danny Kelly.
And I'm Craig Horlbeck.
We host the Ringer Fantasy Football Show on the Ringer Podcast Network.
To avoid eating 12 waffles in a Waffle House, follow the Ringer Fantasy Football Show on Spotify.
It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com. to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is supported by State Farm. If you've ever been in an accident and you're okay, but you know what happened, your first reaction is going to be, man, why did that happen? If you ever buy a new house or a new car or a new anything, there's this little rush you get when you're like, I did it. I made it happen. But really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. We're also brought to you by FanDuel and TheRinger.com and The Ringer Podcast Network. We launched a bunch of podcasts last week, including The Ringer Gambling Show that's launching this week. Warren Sharp's going to be with Joe House, Chris Vernon, Ben Solak three times a week. JJ Jastrzemski's going to go on there every once in a while. I might pop on there. We might do some baseball playoff gambling at some point. We might have some basketball when the basketball season starts. So get ready. Subscribe to that. Follow it for free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We also launched the Ringer MMA show. Errol Hawani, Chuck Mendenhall, Pete Carroll. There was a UFC event last week. They came on Green Room. They talked about it. Then after the card, they did another Green Room that we turned right into a podcast. So reaction pods for basically the best, 22 UFC events of the year. There's another one coming up this week too. So follow that as well. And keep your eye out for our new Chicago podcast that we're launching with Jason Goff. I will give you the details as soon as you can follow it on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, but it's going to be called The Full Go with Jason Goff, three times a week, Chicago podcast. Coming up, a special two-part extravaganza. The Cuz is back. It's our 15th year. Not only are you going to do Guess the Lines, you have to wait till part two for that, but in part one, we're going to talk about our favorite future bets. We're going to guess all the over-unders for win totals really fast. Let's do a little speed round and break down everything else you need to about the football season. This is part one, the two-part extravaganza with Cousin Sal. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, we did it. We made it to our 15th year of Guess the Lines. Cousin Sal is here. You can see him. He has the Extra Points Network. He's on a bunch of podcasts. What else? Just give us all the plugs right away.
Who cares? Extra Points Podcast Network, extrapoints.com, Fox Bet Live. We're doing some shows, but not every day. I don't even know how to explain that, but it's great to be back for year 15. And we were going over before the show the things that were older then.
Yeah, that Guess the Lines is older than, even though, to be fair, you had come up with this concept. You did it with Darren?
Yeah, with Darren.
The Parlay Kid.
The Parlay Kid, yes.
And then when we started working together at Jimmy Kimmel's show in 2002, we started doing Guess the Lines. I don't even think the show had launched yet. You pulled me in. Then we started doing it on the phone after I left. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, this should be a radio show. It turned out to be a podcast, and here we are 15 years
old. Yeah, and we've made a lot of money guessing the lines, getting that advantage on everybody else, knowing guessing the lines ahead.
We've lost tons of money.
We've lost a ton, yeah.
Wait, so what are we older than? What is Guess the Lines
older than? We're older than Breaking Bad, right? Because that came out, when did that come out? 08?
Yep.
Looking at that. Sons of Anarchy, Clone Wars, Real Housewives of New York City, The Vibrating Razor. I think Siri Cruz were older then. I mean, we're 15. We're going to get our period any day now. This is
we're older than Kevin Durant's NBA career.
Yes. Yes.
We're older than any moment that you remember from Steph Curry, because he had the two Davidson in 2008 and 2009. Wow. Nobody really knew who he was before then.
Right.
And then he became Steph Curry. Yeah, those are some good ones.
Yeah, I think we inspired Kevin Durant's career, I think. The Sopranos, Kyle was telling us this, the Sopranos ended a month before us or something.
Yeah, like two, 3 months before. And then it took you that long to recover to actually be able to do a pod. You're still upset.
I'm still upset. I actually thought that's what Guess the Lines was, just discussing the Sopranos ending for 15 years. But no.
Maddest you've been since I've known you.
The Sopranos ending
still hasn't gotten better. I made the mistake of telling you I thought it had aged well, and you got mad all over.
No,
and
then now everybody loves the Sopranos ending. Like I'm the only one left. By the way, I don't want to. I know we have a lot of football to discuss, but you're going to be jealous and mad. But I saw the Sopranos movie this weekend.
Oh, wow. Is that some sort of Jimmy thing? Jimmy got
He has David Chase on Tuesday.
What a dick.
Or Wednesday.
Jerk. I never get that call anymore.
Yeah, no. Just
fringe. I'm like 10 levels below getting that. I don't water the plant enough with Jimmy, and now I just don't get those calls.
See? That's what happens.
Terrible.
You're
going to
love it. You're going to love it.
So when we started Guess the Lines in 07, the Patriots get Randy Moss that year in Welker.
Mm.
They blow out the Jets in week one. We do Guess the Lines, and then the next day all hell breaks loose and Spygate happens. I think that happened on basically by the time our pod was up, the Patriots had become villains, and that became a running theme that whole year, leading to the Super Bowl, the Tyreek catch, they lose. And then we used to have to call in. I'd be at the Super Bowl calling in from some shitty hotel connection.
Right.
We did some in person. We went to, it was Super Bowl in Dallas 1 year. I think we did Guess the Lines in person.
Yeah, we did in Vegas. We did a preseason thing in Vegas. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that's when Spygate started, but they've been cheating for many years before that. That's just when they got busted.
Well, they're going to be cheating again this year as they go 12-5. I thought we could, actually, let's go big picture first.
Okay.
I feel fantastic about the Patriots, and we'll get to that later. How do you feel about the Cowboys? How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling great. Zach Martin now out with COVID, and already they have more guys out with COVID than they did all of last year. So
solid.
Freaking great. No, I think we're going to do a rapid fire over under, and I believe in this team beyond week one. But not a great start right off the bat.
Did Hard Knocks make you feel better or worse?
No, I cringe with the Hard Knocks. You never want your team on Hard Knocks, right? Like, if it was going to focus on Jerry for an hour, that's fine. But now Jerry's only in the credits. He's on for 40 seconds talking about Whataburger. And otherwise, it's Dak and, oh, man, I don't know. Who knows if he's going to come back and all this other stuff and guys eating yams in an empty cafeteria and losing a Connect Four. It's like, all right. And Mike McCarthy's a stumbling idiot. So. But let's just get on the field and play already, right?
He's no Dave Campo. Dave Campo's still the nadir for Hard Knocks coaches.
We have had some winners.
I saw probably half of the season. Mm-hmm. Hard Knocks, I'm kind of bored by. I did see the CD Lamb is going to be the next Jerry Rice montage. It was exciting. Mm-hmm. They had something they weaseled, shoehorned in this Jerry Jones section about kind of the legacy of Jerry Jones, conveniently omitting that I don't even think you've made the conference championship game since the mid-90s, right?
95. If you want to say that's mid-90s, that's fine. But 1995.
It's like, you know, the excellence, the continuity. They're doing this whole thing.
Agrees to it. He's the only one who likes this shit, this Hard Knock shit. Like, anyone else would run from it. Jerry loves it, but that's why it's weird that he's not really in it that much.
When we worked at Jimmy's show the first year, a documentary crew followed the show around for the first few months. Mm-hmm. Nobody loved it more than you. You were the most excited to watch it. There was our friend Hanch through the executive producer, our friend Daniel under the bus in the documentary. I've never seen you more excited.
Yeah.
The tongue in the side of your cheek for an hour straight.
It was excellent. But as a host, Jimmy refuses to watch it, right? It's just it's miserable, comment after comment. A lot of ghosts in there. Yeah, you're right. We shouldn't go back.
Well, I mean, they're filming a documentary about us currently launching a late night show.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't want to watch it either if I was Jimmy, because normally it takes 9 months to launch those things. And we were doing it in 4 weeks. We're going to do some some over under stuff. We're going to speed round it. We're just going to go on the record. We're going to try to go as fast as possible.
Okay.
We'll start with your team, Dallas. Over under 9.5. I'm going under.
This is stupid. You're going under. Interesting. Okay. So under. You're going way under. I'm going 11 wins, even though they lose to Tampa Bay.
11 wins?
11-6. Because what? If you're not seeing the rest of this division, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I am. I like Dan Quinn. I like defense a little better. I like Micah Parsons' addition. It can't be worse than it was last year. And the best unit in the whole division is the Cowboys offense, not the Washington defense. No, you're going to say, I know you're going to go Washington over, but no, it's the Cowboys offense. And they're going to be one of those sling it out teams. Like, all right, you want to beat us? Scored 43. And that'll be that. So I think they get 10 or 11 wins. I'm going over.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Didn't you bet on the Cowboys to have the best record in the NFL last year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I lose okay. this.
I just wanted to make sure.
There's a bunch of built in, you know, it's like union raises. Like I have to actually bet some of these because it's just required. But yeah. I really like them better. Who else is better?
I have you 0-2 coming out of the gate. You're at really? Tampa week one, and then you're at the Chargers, who I think are going to be good in week two.
All Cowboys fans.
Yep. Then you go Eagles, Panthers, Giants at mm-hmm. Pats. If you're 3-3 coming out of that, I think it's a miracle.
Oh, all right. Well, I had 4-1, I think, going into that Pats game. But no miracles here.
I'm going
We're
under.
Just gonna win.
You feel
win.
Like it's either a 9-8 or an 8-9 team. That's it. Plus, what do we know with Prescott? Like how many he had the Gordon Hayward injury. Everybody's like, he's gonna be fine. I watched Gordon Hayward. It took him 2 years to come back.
Yeah. I don't know. Wow. What's the timing on that? Is that 3 minutes before you mentioned
Celtics,
basketball? Although
yeah.
you are a Celtics.
Don't
oh,
be
you
a
mentioned
dick.
Kevin Durant already. Okay. All right.
Speaking of dicks, let's do Giants over under is 7. I think we both go under on this.
Yeah.
They're going to be bad. They can't block. I think Daniel Jones is bad and they're just going to be bad. I think they're going to be one of the 5 worst teams.
People forget they've lost 10 or more in 4 straight seasons. They're 2-14 against the Eagles and Cowboys the last 4 seasons. They can't block, like you said. PFF has them ranked, their offensive line ranked dead last. Like, I can't take a team over that's ranked dead last, and Saquon Barkley runs as hard as he does. Like, he runs himself into an injury every time, and I just don't trust Danny Dimes. So that's an under for me. That's 5-12, I think.
A horrible offensive line with Daniel Jones is just under. I don't need to see anyone else on the team. Yeah. Philly is over under 6.5. I'm also going under on this. It feels right around where it's going to be. It feels like 7-10, 6-11. I got to say, the guy I'm worried about is Minshew.
Yeah, I would have liked the Cowboys to grab that. Like, that was I feel like the Phillies cockblock all these teams. Like, remember, first of all, they took Hurts out in week 17 so that the Giants couldn't make the playoffs, and then the trade with Dallas to give it Devonta Smith so that the Giants couldn't get him, and now this move so that the Cowboys don't get Minshew. Like, they really are good at playing defense, except for when they actually have to play defense. Here's why I go under. $33.8 million in dead cap money. When you're in the $30 million range, you win like 28% of your games or something. So, and I don't believe in Jalen Hurts just yet.
I hate their schedule the first 7 weeks too. At Atlanta, home San Fran, at Dallas, mm-hmm. home Chiefs, at Panthers, home Bucks, at Rams. And 2 of those are night games. And if they're even 2-5 coming out of that, they'd probably take it. Washington over under. This is who I have winning the division. I have over. It's 8.5. I think they at least get to 9, somewhere 9 or 10. But I think this is the team in the division.
Really? I mean, yeah. I guess people shouldn't just listen to me because I have the Cowboys over and I have everyone under. But I do have Washington at 7 wins. I mean, you think Fitzpatrick, like, he's good for a month. You don't know if it's the first month or the last month. But, you know, they were 5-1 with Alex Smith and 2-8 with every other quarterback. So
their quarterbacks were so bad, though. I mean, to just even have a semi-competent QB has to be worth like 3 wins for them. Plus Gibson, we're doing, I mean, you and I are in 2 fantasy drafts the next 2 days. Gibson's going to be one of the top 8 running backs that goes.
All right. Well, I think House protected him, right?
Didn't House well, one of ours and like, the other one, he's wide open. And then McLaurin, and it's not, they're not going to be impotent offensively like they were last year, where it just felt bad for Gibson. They got Rivera. I don't know. I like it barely, but I'm going over. So you over or under on that?
I went under. I still think 7, but you know, I could be wildly off on this whole NFC East.
I'm not going to keep track of these because someone on the internet will, and they'll send you the in your Twitter replies. They'll send some graph of our picks, and I look forward to it.
Only if they're bad. Only if they're bad will they do it.
No, they'll do it, and we'll give them a shout out in next week's podcast. NFC North, Chicago, they're over under 7.5. This to me is a lock, and I actually have money on this one. I don't see any scenario where they go 8-9 or better. I don't think they can block. I like Fields. I actually feel bad for Fields, but I don't like their skill guys. I don't like the fact that they can't block for a rookie QB. And their division, they have a couple tough... They have to play the AFC North and the NFC West, which is brutal, plus Green Bay twice. And I don't see a path for them to get to 8 wins. Do you?
Interesting. I have them exactly at 8. That's what I have them, 8 and 9, because I think that someone has to be not decent, but just below average there. And I don't trust Nagy. He was like 12-4 and then 16-16 the last 2 years. And, you know, if you play any fantasy, you know, Montgomery had a resurgence in the second half of the year. And I don't know, Justin Fields, I think they'll figure it out. I don't think Dalton will kill them the first 5 games. And then you'll put Justin Fields in and just, you know, 2 wins against the Lions, a couple wins here. I have them at 8 and 9. I'm not excited about it though.
I have Nagy as first coach fired as well, which I got in at 7-1. There's a stretch here. If they're 2-3 after the first 5, which is realistic because they're at Rams, at Browns, at Raiders, and then they have home against Bengals, Lions. But then they go home Packers, at Bucks, home Niners, at Steelers on a Monday night bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're like 2-7 heading into that bye week, I think he's out. And
I guess
he probably should
have
been out anyway.
I think he's got the shortest leash out of everyone, right? Like Kingsbury, I guess.
Totally.
They're not gonna
your guy, maybe. If you guys suck coming out of the gate.
I just said we'd never fire anyone. I mean, look what it takes to fire a Cowboys coach. But the Bengals coach, Taylor,
Jason
maybe.
Garrett. It's a hostage situation.
Good Lord. Yeah.
All right. Detroit, the over-under is 5. I have the under. I also have them for worst record in the league at 4-1, which we'll get to later when we do $1 million picks. I assume you have the under as well for this. You don't see a path for 6 wins,
no,
do you?
I have them winning 3 games. I mean, it's interesting. They have a lunatic coach every year, this Dan Campbell replacing like Patricia. So that's going to be exciting. But look, they haven't won a playoff game since 1991. You got Anthony Lynn as the offensive coordinator. If anything spells rebuilding year, it's this. And that offensive line is not good. And Stafford helped himself. I wasn't in the Stafford, you know, coming to the Rams is a great move until I read up. I did a lot of research this summer. I'm like, this is going to work out for the Rams. And it's not going to work out for the Lions. I remember when they made the trade, you and I were like, they probably won't even start Goff. Well, guess what? It looks like they're starting Goff. So it really spells rebuilding year to me. And I have them right at 3 wins. I mean, Goff had 55 giveaways in the last 3 years. And that's when he had an offensive line.
And it looks like, now who knows, with Sewell, their guy they took 7th in the first round, who was supposed to be this stud tackle. Mm-hmm. And then he just looked awful in the preseason. And there was stuff about, is this guy a bust? Is not? And I was like, wow, if they didn't hit on that guy, could be like a full-fledged disaster. Schrager was on here and he was saying like, you know, Campbell's such like a maniac that it'll be hard for them to be that bad. And it's like, I actually think that makes it worse if he's a maniac. It's like, if you have a terrible team and you have a maniac coach, that actually seems like that's the worst possible thing.
Right.
I'd rather have like a half dead coach.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and Schrager thought, and a lot of us thought like Salah would go there, right? He just didn't interview well or something like that was going to be their coach. They could have played it a little straighter than that.
Went to the Jets.
Yeah.
All right. So Green Bay is 10.5. And I don't like this either. I think this feels high. So I'm going under on every team in this division, and I'm just going to hope to go 3-1. Here's the problem with Green Bay. Their offensive line's kind of a mess coming out of the gate. They've had an injury. They lost somebody. And you go read the stories about them, and it's like if they could just get everything ready for 6 weeks until... I forget the name of the guy that's coming back.
Well, Bakhtiari is the guy.
Bakhtiari.
They lost him last year, right?
Yeah.
It just seems like Rodgers figures out how to avoid trouble, even with the worst offensive line. But
so you're going over for this?
I'm going under only because it looks suspicious to me. It's like 10.5. They won 13 last year. They're 11-1 against the North the last 2 years. It's 7 Pro Bowlers are tied for first. They have them all back. 14-2 at home. Like having no fans last year didn't seem to matter. Why this seems like a joke. Like, I don't know why. And yet I only see them going 10-7 because I think they're going to be the team to beat in that division. And like you said, AFC North, NFC West,
plus New Orleans, plus at New Orleans, plus at Kansas City, and plus Washington is a tough enough schedule to keep them honest. So I have them 10-7, but still winning the division.
Yeah, and honestly, they could be 10-6 and throw away the last week.
Right.
Because this, I think this is the worst division. I even like, Dallas as the number two team in your terrible division. I like them more than the other three teams in this division.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 10-7 is realistic for Green Bay. I really was trying hard to figure out a way to have Minnesota win this division.
I was too.
And let's get to them now. Their over-under is 8.5. I looked at it. I flipped it around. I held it up. I had the sun shining through it. I just couldn't get there. The COVID, they seem like they have the worst COVID potential of anyone in the league for just week after week, guys getting scratched of, 25 guys getting COVID in 1 week, all this stuff. And it just seems like it's going to hang over them this whole season.
Yeah. I am going, well, I think I had them over because you said they're 8.5, but it's
I am over too. I'm sorry. I have them over and have 8.5.
Yeah. So I have them at 9. So not enough to win the division, but, there's such a caveat with it. Like, I don't know what this, all these guys, first of all, player props under individuals is the way to go. As we know, anyway, they sucker you into taking the over, and then there's injuries left and right. And now like, this isn't even political. Like the COVID protocols being what they are, like, Cousins may have to sit a game or two.
Yep.
And Kellen Mond, also not vaccinated. He may have to sit a game or two. So I don't know what they're doing. Their coach is doing press conferences. Zimmer is practically crying, like, please get back. Please do it. So to me, this is like this is the fantasy team you want, right? They're the first team ever to have 4,000-yard passer, 1,500-yard rusher, and a 1,400-yard receiver in Justin Jefferson. But otherwise, I don't know. That defense, I know they have guys coming back, but I see this as a 9-8 team. I don't like their injury prospects at all, like you said. And it's a real factor this year. It absolutely is.
Yeah, they also have, I think, my least favorite schedule of all the teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cincy week one, then they go at Cardinals, home Seattle, home Cleveland, just 3 in a row.
Yeah,
they have your team in a night game followed in week 8, followed by at Ravens, at Chargers, home Packers, at Niners. They get an easy Lions game, then they go Steelers Thursday night, at Bears Monday night, Rams at Packers, and then they finish with Bears. It's just like, there's no, other than the two Lions games, they have no breaks. And they have AFC North, NFC West, and then the combo of, if the Panthers are good, it's like, it's basically like every team they play is going to be good except for Bengals and Lions. So
yeah,
I have them at 9-8.
That's where so I exactly
8-9 feels low because of the talent they have. NFC South, we'll try to go quick here. Atlanta is 7.5. I actually like the over.
Oh, man.
I don't know why. I know this is one of your kryptonite teams.
Well, I have them over, too. I mean, I have them like 11 or 12 wins. I'm a freaking idiot. Like the Arthur Smith first-year coach.
I have them make
coach,
the playoffs, too.
I think, I mean, they're 4-12 last year. Why do I love them so much? Like, they lose Julio Jones. I'm banking on this Kyle Pitts kid. I really am.
The kid is going to be good, Bill. The kid from Atlanta. I love Francesco, the kid from Atlanta.
It's Kyle Pitts. And he is going to be good. And their biggest problem is red zone woes. And I think he solves that. I think he's just a monster. He's going to get open. They got Mike Davis. I think we'll do a decent job. 1,000 yards on the ground plus 8 touchdowns last year. I think their offense will be good. And they're going to surprise some teams. And I have them going way over the 7.5.
I liked them as well. I one of the playoff bets I liked was them at 2-1 because with the 7 teams, I think there's 2 playoff teams from this division. I'm pretty confident. So I think this is the second team. The Ringer Fantasy Show, Craig was talking about how he was hearing somebody talk about Mike Davis. Like, nobody loves Mike Davis, but everybody agrees he's in a good situation. And the guy was like, this guy, Mike Davis, is such a good situation. So Craig said he should be called Mike the Situation, like Jersey Shore. And I kind of like it. I think if Mike the Situation becomes a gimmick for him, I would like Mike Davis even more.
Mike the
Situation, 1,300 yards this year.
Yes, the new Mike the Situation, who's slightly more tan than the other, the original, has gigantic thighs. Did you remember that from last year, the training camper? So yeah, he's all.
I always liked Mike Davis.
He's gym tan laundry. Sign him up.
Carolina over under 7.5. I was slight under for me, but only because of Darnold. I just think he's not good. It's like, change the scenery, Sam Darnold. It's like, you can change all the scenery you want. You're still Sam Darnold. And I don't know why they didn't keep Bridgewater. I didn't think he was that bad for them.
Yeah, I have him. So you have him at 7 wins. I mean, that's what I have.
Yeah, I have him 6-11, 7-10.
All right, yeah, like that's what I have him. Yeah, 1-5 against the NFC South. Darnold, say what you will, but he has the worst completion percentage out of anyone in the last three seasons with over like 20 starts or something. But yeah, the checkdowns to McCaffrey could help a lot. They really can. And if that's a formidable offense, they could be decent enough to get 7 wins.
I just think like people compare it to Tannehill, like change of scenery. I just feel like it's a different situation. Tannehill had Adam Gase,
right,
who is just the QB destroyer. And I know Darnold had some Adam Gase as well.
Yeah, but he did.
Tannehill succeeded at least a little bit. Like there were games against the Patriots where I was like, oh shit, Tannehill's kind of frisky. He's moving around. He's doing stuff. I never felt like he was awful. Darnold, right, to me, I never really saw it. I never got it. I never understood it. I don't think the Jets fans really saw it either. They weren't upset when he left. The Tannehill thing is a little more realistic to me.
The defense went from 31st to 18th. Well, one thing I'll say about Darnold is he's still 23. Like everyone's always, how many years are we going to hear about all these drafted quarterbacks are older than Sam Darnold? Like, I feel like 3 years from now, it's like, yeah, still older than Sam Darnold. Like, what? How did this happen? So
that's I'll like give Rafael Devers year. Is like that. He's younger than
all
these dudes. Like he's younger than Jarren Duran, who's their big rookie. He's like, oh, young guy, Jarren Duran. And Devers has been in the league for 5 years.
Yeah.
New Orleans is 9. I have over for them. Francesca talked me into it. It comes down to this for me. That Drew Brees, as we laid out many times in this podcast, I just thought he was a liability for them last year. Mm-hmm. And if Jameis, you know, I know he's going to have a couple dumb throws, but I also think he's going to have a couple good throws. And I just think he opens up their offense. And then the Taysom thing and Sean Payton, I just can't see them going under 500. It seems unrealistic to me.
I got him right at 8-9. First of all, this is a tough stretch. I mean, this is tough emotionally for New Orleans, right? Coming into the season, like now they're going to be playing on the road and on the road for who knows, like for a month now.
Yeah.
That's tough. This Michael Thomas thing is ridiculous. Out and definitely chooses to get the surgery like last month or something.
They cloned him though. It's like Barbara Streisand's dog. So you got Marquez Callaway. He's the new Michael Thomas. It's fine.
Preseason. It's fine.
Cloned him.
I just think there's a lot asking of Alvin Kamara here from, and I think Winston's the right move. I don't care about the interceptions. He didn't have a really good offensive line in Tampa. So just give me the guy with, 5,000 yards, whatever he had. But I think it's only good enough for 8 wins, 8-9, I say.
They'll be somewhere between 8-10. I like the 9 because it's basically if they hit 9, you're good. Yeah. It's a push. We're going to take a break and talk about Tampa.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. 7-time world champion, modern-day legend, my favorite quarterback ever, Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. It's going to be hosted by Kevin Hart, and Tom Brady will get his cleats held to the fire by famous friends, frenemies, the roast master himself, Jeff Ross. It's going to be an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
All right, Tampa Bay over under 11.5.
Yeah,
we'll be 11. Talking about them later when we do some Super Bowl futures that throw at you. But I hate picking the team that won the year before to win again. But if you look at everything with this team, they brought back everyone, which seemed inconceivable in January, February. It's like, oh, they'll definitely lose Godwin. Somehow they bring all their receivers back. Somehow they made their defensive line better with Tryon. Tryon's like, people are saying he's the defensive rookie of the year possibility, all that stuff. I just think they're going to be absolutely loaded. And now you have like, they actually got to practice together all year. They had Brady there the whole year. Brady seems locked in. Mm-hmm. Brady, the back-to-back thing for him to be able to do that yet again at another stage in his life. And I don't think their schedule is that hard. I think they're going to be at least 12-5. So I mean, I'm going over.
I know everyone's going to hate this reasoning, but I think this is a fixed line for every reason you said, like 11.5. All right. They lost 5 games last year, right? So they're 11-5. Maybe I'm going to make the case that everyone's gunning for them, but it really doesn't make sense that they shouldn't win 12 or 13 games in that division. Yep. And, what did we say? 22 starters back plus Antonio Brown.
since they're so deep. That's the thing. It's like so they have no holes. Nobody can find holes other than the fact that their quarterback's 44. But you fucking look at that guy and he's like Benjamin Button. It doesn't make sense.
But that's it, right? Isn't that what you're banking on? You're banking on the all right, here I go now. The NBA center who is 37 years old and racks up great numbers and he's going to turn 38 and then it's all going to go down 7 points a game, right? Like that's the only thing you're banking on if you take the under. And I feel like that's what I'm doing here. Taking them
the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So you're going under
11-6, slightly.
Oh, under. So you overthought this. Come on, Sal.
I know I did. Yeah.
This is.
Well, here's
you got to get better. You have to get better at this stuff. You stare at these lines for six months, and then you're going against. This is the most talented team in the league by far.
Let me ask you: did you go every win? Did you say, okay, Atlanta wins this game?
I did.
So Tampa
I actually did.
Oh, you
I
did. Okay.
Yeah, I did a lot of prep.
It all added up. It added up. Like, that's what I did. Like I'm trying to think who I gave Atlanta, Tampa Bay losses to.
The only thing that sucks with losses? Tampa,
yeah,
they. All of the good teams that they play, they have the bad luck. It's on the road because they're at Rams week three. They're at Pats week four.
Yeah.
They're at the Colts. I guess they have the Bills home. So maybe that's not 100%.
They're at
true.
Washington. If you like them so much and think they're going
to
win 10 games.
I think they're 14-3, 13-4. They're somewhere in there. I think they comfortably get the over.
Well, if they NFC run the West, division, yeah. If they run the division, that's a different story. Yeah,
NFC West, this is easy to me. I'm going under Arizona and over for the other three. So Arizona, the over-under is 8. I just think they have the misfortune of being in the wrong division this year.
Well, this is
probably 3 of the best 7 teams in the league in their division. So they're kind of screwed.
I'm with you on Arizona. Yeah, we can go through this quick, even though it is the best division, should require the most time. But I think they're 7-10. I think Kingsbury's in trouble. I believe that Murray was banged up a little last year towards the end, but I don't think it matters against these monsters whose over-under win total is all 10 or 10 and a half. And I like the Rams. I really do. I like them winning 13 games. I
love them Stafford. As well.
I love, you look at it, he's the only time he had a top 10 defense. The Lions went 11-5. Like, he's going to be great for this team. He's not going to screw up as much as they're used to. McVay he's got to be in love with it. He had to be pulling his hair out with Jared Goff. And now he's got a real quarterback. Granted, they had injuries to the running back. Cam Akers are figuring out to get Sony Michel. But
they'll
that
be
defense,
fine. You can patch running backs together.
Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Floyd, Aaron Donald. Just
They're built to win this year. They gave away these draft picks to compete for the Super Bowl this year or next year. The reason I'm rushing through NFC West is I just feel like we talked about it too much in the pod. I think the Rams are a Super Bowl team, potentially. That's over-under is 10.5.
Yeah.
I'm good there.
So you got Seattle and the Niners having 11 or more?
I got San Francisco 10.5. I'm willing to debate Seattle because I think that's my least favorite out of the three.
Mm-hmm.
And the Seattle, the over-under is 10. I guess the reason I like the over for this is I don't see them go 9-8. So if it's 10 and it's a push, I'm good. If they get 11-6, great. But I don't see the 9-8 with Russell Wilson. That seems inconceivable to me. They have too many good players.
Yeah. I actually do have them 9-8. I have them under. I have the 49ers under at 10. And I have 3 teams from the West making the playoffs. And I have, and the other team is, I guess, Atlanta and Tampa Bay from that.
The 10's not as intimidating with the 17-game schedule, right?
Yeah.
It's 10-7. That's not a great record. I'm not like telling my grandkids that I went 10-7.
Yeah, it's true.
So for them to go 10-7, I don't love to have a stretch in their schedule. They're at Colts, home Titans to start. And then they go at Vikes, at 49ers, home Rams on a Thursday, at Steelers on a Sunday, home Saints on a Monday. I don't like that 5-gamer there, but that could also be, we could be coming into that that Sunday night week 6 Steelers game and the whole Russell Wilson MVP could be starting at that
right.
point.
I don't even know.
You got to factor that into
Seattle.
The schedule.
Yeah.
Al Michaels and Chris doing the... I just don't understand it. I don't understand how this guy has 0 MVPs. I don't understand it.
Yeah, that's the thing. He is MVP up until week 9 in everyone's book, right? And then
he's MVP as long as you don't go through the actual seasons where you thought he should win the MVP. All right. AFC, we'll do these fast. Buffalo over under 11. Buffalo is going to come up a lot in this podcast. Mm-hmm. I have over. If they don't go 12-5, I'm going to assume Josh Allen got hurt. That's where I stand on Buffalo. I think their offense, I think they're ready. The fact that they kept Daboll, who just should have been hired for one of the 19 open head coaching jobs.
Right.
And they have this completely overqualified offensive coordinator who is ready to be head coach and a ton of weapons. I don't love their running backs, but it's fine. Same thing with the Rams. But, you know, offense is better than their defense. I don't think their schedule is that tough. I think the AFC East teams actually lucked out. They got to play the AFC South, NFC South this year. So well, I'm over. Where are you?
I think I have a push. I think I have, it's right at 11, right? So I think I have a push. And again, like, this is a weird thing. The division champ and people picking to win the Super Bowl last year, they won 13 games. There's an extra game and their over under is just 11. I think it has to do with the fact that they ran the table. They were 6-0 in the division, but I don't see Josh Allen getting worse. That defense did go down a little. The scoring went from second to like 16th. Overall. So what do you think? If you think they're 3-3 in the division, then you go under. If you think they're 5-1 or 6-0 again, I think you go over. And I'm going right on the push there. 11 wins. I think they're 4-2-ish in that division.
That's lame. That's like a Joe House move.
I have another push
betting the number.
I know. I'm sorry.
Miami's 9.5. I'm going under just because I like the Pats more.
You know, I don't
love the Tua thing. The fact that the Deshaun Watson trade rumors started and they didn't come flying out being like, no, we're not trading this guy. That was weird.
I thought
where somebody's got to step forward and be like, I don't know where this is coming from. Tua has been a fucking delight in the preseason. He's our guy. We're not trading him. Any rumor about this is false. We have a quarterback. Nobody did it. Why didn't they do it?
Someone should have stepped up. Now, the flip side of that is, who do we have? Oh, we talked to Brady Quinn, and he's like, players just know that a lot of this, most of this is bullshit now. There's no accountability in journalism. And so if they hear it, like, just ignore it. There might have been that talk where the coach is like, look, you're hearing stuff, just ignore it. It's not true, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't, no one, you're right. Someone should have had a press conference somewhere and denied it. But I'm with you. I like them only winning 8 games. Going 8-9. They have like 2 offensive coordinators. I don't know how that works. You know, remember that they lost some bad games. They lost 56-26 to Buffalo when they could have made the playoffs in week 17. And I just don't think, Tua's passer rating was under 100 the last 6 games of the season. So maybe it's the injury, maybe it's not, but I think that division is better and good enough to keep them under 500.
I don't like that they go at Pats, home, Bills, at Raiders, first 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the stupid London game in week 6 right after a Buccaneers game. The start of their schedule is pretty rough. Yeah. I just feel like with the Tua thing, I need to see it.
Yeah, sure.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But until he shows me that he can be even above average, but I do think it's weird. Like if there was a story out that I was dumping nephew Kyle for Jim Cunningham, and it's like, Jim Cunningham, he might be available, blah, 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 and that was out there, I would come out and be like, I'm not trading nephew Kyle. That's my guy. Where did this come from?
Right. That's interesting.
This is stupid. Yeah.
This came from back, the Betty Ford Clinic. Good job,
Kyle. I got your back, buddy.
Kyle's not going anywhere.
Speaking of Kyle, the Pats, the dumbest over-under of the year, over-under 9. Is it to go up to 9.5 or not?
It's 9.5. Minus 140.
It was 9 for a while. I bet it at 9. Now it's 9.5. I still love it. I'm going over. The Pats are going 11-6, so.
All right, but you did it's 9.5. The over is actually even odds now. And I went over too, but now I can't stand you Patriots fans. You Red Sox, like, everything is so doom and gloom, or it's the greatest in the world. And now this Mac Jones, I mean, did you see Alabama play this week? Like, they had a quarterback that didn't take a snap before this week, and they trucked Miami. Like, they put up like 60 points almost. Like, this is Alabama's offense. This is not a guy you wanted in March. You didn't care if you got Mac Jones. And now
I did.
He does some checkoffs to some tight ends in preseason, and you love him.
Oh.
Come on. Let's just relax a little. Let's see him play.
I'm going to do the opposite of relaxing. I have the over. Jets over under 6.
That's it? That's all we're talking about, the Patriots?
They're coming up later. I have some million-dollar pick futures for them.
All right.
Jets over under 6. I had to look at this like 3 times.
Yeah.
I don't see it. Are the Jets going 7-10?
No.
Under any circumstances? No.
You're going to hate me, but I have them right on 6. 6-11. 6 of the first teams, 7 teams they played didn't make the playoffs. I think Zach Wilson is going to fit nicely in that offense. They're not going to embarrass themselves. And, you know, they had 9 losses by double digits. They didn't score 30 once last year. They have a ways to go. I have them at 6-11.
I have them starting at 0-3 at Panthers, home Pats, at Broncos. There's an 0-3 start. So now they would have to go 6-8 the rest of the way to hit
that
six.
Panthers game, because my team plays on a Thursday. I think I'm most excited for that game, Panthers Jets. I mean, we'll get to guess the lines, obviously, but what has to happen for Adam Gase not to look like an asshole? Both teams have to suck forever. I don't know.
It's a good point. It's the Gase Bowl.
Yeah.
AFC North, Baltimore over under is 10.5 still. I have a hard under on this.
Yeah, I have 9. So 9 wins. So that's under. Is Baltimore 10.5 or 11? What did I say? They're 11.
Oh, it's 11? Yeah, I had them at 10.5.
11 even. So you like the under?
I thought
even
it dropped
more
after the Dobbins thing. But I guess it went back up.
It might
God,
have.
I absolutely hate their schedule. Talked about it a little last week in the pod, but it is a gauntlet. They're playing the AFC West and the NFC North. I think the AFC West would be the number one division I wouldn't want this year.
You wouldn't want
other than the NFC West.
What do you mean you wouldn't want? You wouldn't want
to
play against
because I have AFC to go West, Chiefs, yeah. Chargers, Broncos, yeah, and even Vegas is not, I'm not like, that's not like an easy fourth team, you know?
Right. And that's who they play the opening week, right? They're at Vegas. That's going to be interesting to see what kind of fans they get in Vegas, right? Is it going to be every bachelor party's, you know, annual trip? Like, it's like, no, let's go see our team play there. Or are they going to have the rabid black hole fans? So we obviously didn't see it last year, but I kind of think that they're going to have a home field advantage. I have the Ravens under. Same thing. I think this Dobbins thing hurts. You know, their first round pick, Bateman, is banged up. I don't even know what kind of wide receiver you could give Lamar Jackson to make that a nice situation. And also, I don't know how many times he's gotten COVID. Again, not political, but he's going to sit. He's going to warm up next to somebody who catches it, and the protocols in place are going to say, no, you're out for 10 days. So
the COVID thing's a real thing. And when it's the team's best player, it's alarming. Mm-hmm. And sure, if you're telling me I have to get to 11 plus wins to win my bet, no thanks. Because odds are Lamar's going to miss multiple games. Cincinnati, 6.5 is the number under. I think they're going to be bad. I actually looked at the Zach Taylor first coach fired. Yeah, the Burrow coming up, that knee injury feels like it happened a week ago. And they're like, yeah, his knee, he's still gaining his confidence back. I don't like this team. And then their stretch down the stretch, last 7 weeks, home Steelers, home Chargers, home Niners, at Broncos, home Ravens, home Chiefs, at Browns.
Mm-hmm.
So they have 5 home games down the stretch, but they're all against good teams if the Steelers are good. And then that first part of the season where they have more of the road games, and that's going to be when Burrow's starting to feel, I just don't see it. What do you have?
I have them at 7 wins, so I guess I have them over, barely over.
You're like zagging left and right. Yeah, no, I know what you're doing.
You
got to
do
just,
it. Well,
you're zagging.
I usually lose these, but you know, they scored, 21 points a game with Burrow, 16 points a game without. Made a huge difference. Remember how
that
excited we were about Joe Burrow? They spent over $100 million on defense. Hendrickson helped. They got some cornerbacks in there. I think they're going to play some cold weather games and win 7-10. Win the games that no one cares about down the stretch.
That's one of my least favorite coaches. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
You don't like him? Yeah.
I have him, Nagy, Gase is gone. I just think there's some coaches that you watch and you're like, wow, what's wrong with that team? That team seems off. Why'd they do that? He's a why'd they do that coach to me. I don't
McVay
get it.
Swore by this guy. Swore.
I know.
By
but yeah, maybe no. He's just should be an awesome offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Cleveland over under 10.5. I have the over. I love the over. I like them to win the division too, which we'll get to when we do future bets.
Yeah, I do too. Young secondary, but 11 wins. I mean, all the pieces are there. The bells and whistles. And really, Baker doesn't even have to be a top. What could Baker be like the 25th best quarterback in the league and then still win this division? I really feel that that's the case with them. You know, I mean, he's already in there. He's got a team that averages 149 yards rushing. You know, he's got a good defense. They had Clowney and Malik Jackson, 7 new starters. Obviously, Miles Garrett's in there. I 11-6 for this team.
We learned last year with the Brady 4-game playoff experience, if your team's really good, you just basically have to make a couple good plays and make sure you don't throw like 4 picks and a half and you'll be fine. Baker can do some stuff. I still don't trust him. We saw it last year in the playoffs in the we absolutely need a touchdown this drive situation.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get it. Remember? It was like the 3 and out. It was like their whole season was online. I don't totally trust him, but I also don't trust him to fuck it up either. Pittsburgh, 8.5. this to me is the AFC version of your team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of weapons. I'm not really sold on anything else. They have a couple studs on defense like you do.
Well, they have a great defense. They have a very good defense. Like we didn't have. I mean,
not as good as it was last year, though. They lost some guys.
As last year?
They lost Dupree. Well, last year they had a bunch of injuries.
On offense, they lost some offensive linemen. But no, I think they're going to be all right. TJ Watt led in sacks, and Minkah Fitzpatrick was great to give up for a first round pick. I think they'll be all right. This sounds lame, but I'm going with Tomlin to keep the streak alive, to not go under 500. I have them right at 9-8.
How do they not go 9-8?
What's that?
How do they not go 9-8?
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. They're going to tweak the Ben thing to make sure, you know, that they can kind of keep him going for four straight months. But he has so many weapons.
They
and then
almost
the running
made
back
the playoffs
is
so with Rudolph and Duck Hodges, right? Like it's they'll be 9-8. You don't want to go too crazy about the preseason, but Big Ben looked nifty in the pocket. He looked like things that he couldn't do.
He lost weight
week 14 on, so that's promising. I don't think they win 12, 13 games. I certainly don't think they start off 11-0. But 9-8 for them.
The running back, by all accounts, is spectacular. Yeah. And I thought their running backs last year were exceptionally mediocre, and they couldn't block for them either, at least this year.
All right. You're going to be bidding on Najee Harris.
100%.
The kid 100%. From Alabama.
Yep. One thing with Pittsburgh, high variance team. Like, if you told me they're going to go 14-3, I wouldn't be stunned.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me they're going to go 8-9, I wouldn't be stunned. Right?
Right, but not 5-12. Not the other way, right? I'd be stunned if they won.
That would have to be a Roethlisberger's career is basically over by week 7 situation. Mm-hmm. Like a Peyton Manning the last year in Denver if the team wasn't good around him.
This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. Closing the deal can be a real challenge sometimes. Like, remember when the Celtics, once upon a time, could have traded Kevin McHale for Sam Perkins and Detlef Schrempf to Dallas? It became a big what if because it would have made the Celtics younger, it would have made them better, but they also would have broken up the big three. They would have broken up Bird and Parrish and McHale. So would we have won the title if we did that trade? Probably not. I'm kind of glad they kept Kevin McHale, but you know, we lost out on a chance to really get younger. You know, another place where it could be a struggle to get a win, not just with trades, B2B selling. But luckily, you can use LinkedIn Sales Navigator. It's a sales intelligence platform that helps you target the right customers to drive revenue and grow your business so you can start selling like a superstar. Maybe Detlef Schrempf would have become a superstar in the Celtics. We'll never know. Try LinkedIn Sales Navigator now with a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/Bill Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Vrbo. You know, it is already stressful enough to deal with airports, delayed flights, bad weather. You want your actual where you're staying experience to be perfect, to be lights out. You don't want to have to worry about anything. When you book a vacation rental, you want to know exactly what you're paying ahead of time. The stress of getting hit with unexpected cleaning fees after your stay, that can immediately cancel out all the great time you just spent unwinding. Thankfully, when you book with Vrbo, you can see the total price upfront. There are no unpleasant surprises, and the savings do not stop there, my friends. When you book with Vrbo, you earn 2% cash back toward your next vacation through the One Key Rewards program, letting your money do the work for you while you've got your feet up. So while other vacation rentals can feel like a roll of the dice, relax knowing you booked a Vrbo. Book your next private vacation rental in the Vrbo app.
AFC South, Houston, we don't need to belabor. Over-under's 4. I'm just going under. I just feel like Detroit and Houston, maybe the Jets will be lobbying for that number one pick.
I have them right at 3 or 4 wins. I don't know how. They're not going to be favored in any game. I don't want to ruin the guess the lines, right? But you're replacing Watson, who had 4,800 yards and 33 touchdowns and was sacked 155 times in 3 years. Like, you have to replace that. Like, they're not going to be able to do that. So,
and everyone who follows this shit religiously was saying how he was incredible last year, even though they were like, 4-12. And they were like, Deshaun Watson was fantastic.
Right.
So now you're putting Tyrod Taylor in there, in the Deshaun Watson, and the team's not much better. I don't like it. Indianapolis is 8.5. I have the under for them too.
See, okay. So you talk about a fixed line, right? Like, why isn't everyone taking the Titans at -140? What are they to win the division? Like, that they, let's see, wait, what are they to win the division? Like, they get some defensive parts in there.
They're basically even odds, right? -110 for the division, Tennessee.
Explain that to me, because they won the division last year. They bulk up the defense. They sign Julio Jones, who everybody loves. The Colts still don't know what's going on with this quarterback. You can't believe in Carson Wentz, and it's still a coin flip to win the division. I'm going the other way. I'm going Colts at 9. Well, the Colts over at 9. I know. They're going to go 9-8, and I think the Titans are going to go 9-8. So Titans go under 9.5, and the Colts hit the number exactly. And then I don't know what the tiebreaker is. I have the Colts winning the tiebreaker at 9.
Well, tell me what you think the Colts record is going to be after these five games.
I know it's tough. I know it's really
home Seattle, home Rams, at Tennessee, at Dolphins, at Ravens Monday night.
Right. So that's five.
So you think they can get 2-3 out of that?
I don't know, but after their bye, they're New England, Arizona, Vegas, and Jacksonville. So I think that's where they make it up a little bit. But I know what you're saying. That's a bad, if they're going to quit on the team, that would be them. But
I'm going under.
Good defense. I like the good defense.
I think that division has a chance to have the, what was the NFC East winner last year? 7-9 last year?
Yes. Yeah.
I think this is our 7-10, 8-9 division champ potentially. Mm-hmm. I'm going under for them. Jacksonville.
I will say this about the South, that the Colts could face five rookie quarterbacks. That's pretty big. That's interesting. A little less than a third of your schedule's all rookies.
Yeah.
Not bad. Now, if you have Carson Wentz, you're not that much ahead of the game, but.
Forgot to mention with this division, they play the AFC East and the NFC West, which is tough.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets is the only easy game out of those eight
teams.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Tennessee has Kansas City at Pittsburgh, and New Orleans are their extra games.
Oof. Jacksonville over under 6.5. So I liked them about a month ago. I have a bet. I bet on them to win the division 8-1. I took a flyer on it just because this division's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually read the stuff and you watch them in the preseason and you're going, oh, this team sucks.
Yeah.
Then Eddie N gets hurt. It's over under 6.5. I'm going under.
I'm going under too. I think it's 5-12.
They're a year away. This would be the rebuilding year. Just make sure Lawrence doesn't get hurt.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I mean, if you gave me decent odds on Urban Meyer under a year and a half, I could see him walking away. I don't think I would get fired, but I think the Tebow thing was nonsensical. Obviously, getting Etienne, you have to have your buddy, Trevor Lawrence's buddy there as a third down back. Okay.
Weird.
So now he's hurt. And now the COVID statement he made, and he must be I think he feels like he has too many bosses. He had a sound bite from Hard Knocks, and he's just like, hey, how's it going, coach? He's like, you kind of sighed. It's over already before it even started. Yeah, I think 5-12. Remember, they're 1-15. They go 5-12. That's a pretty good turn.
Yeah, that's America.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. What was Spurrier? Was 1 year with Washington?
Yeah.
He was done. Saban was 3.
Screw this. I'm not the boss in any aspect there.
Tennessee over-under's 9. I hate it, but I'm going over just because I think they win the division, and I don't feel good about saying 8-9. I guess the thing with this team, the defense was horrible last year. It's a little better this year. They brought
really
in Julio.
They added that Caleb Farley, who a lot of players really passed on.
I worry about the Henry. The amount of miles they put on Henry the last couple of years is alarming. There's really not a lot of.
It's unprecedented. I think it's 681 carries. If you look at his over under, so he had over 2,000 yards. I think he's expected to have 1,500 yards. We'll go on to props. This isn't one of my favorites, but you'll never see a disparity of 500 yards from a player who's not coming back from an injury, right? So I think that factors into their over under too. Why should they be 9? 11-5 last year, and there's no Deshaun Watson. So I'm going against the grain and saying a push, they go 9-8.
Now, he is superhuman, but we've seen over the years these running backs that have that kind of workload, and it just is overnight. It's like the Priest Holmes syndrome.
Priest Holmes,
where it's what happened? And then it's it. Yeah. AFC West, Denver over under, your nemesis is 8.5. I love it. I'm going over. I like this Denver team. I really do. I like the Broncos. Over.
I can't do it. I can't.
I know you can't.
You know, every year I take Atlanta and Denver. Now it's like, you know what? I could only take one. I took Atlanta. I can't mix Quaaludes and vodka. So that's it. I'm just sticking with Atlanta, and I'm going Denver under. I know they got some secondary help through free agency, but
Surtain looks like he's a defensive rookie of the year candidate.
Yeah. I just want, for sure. He's looking good, but I don't. What do you think happened? Do you think they really relied on getting Rodgers? Don't you think they would have traded down to get one of these quarterbacks? So they were okay with this Bridgewater
I think they think they're getting Rodgers a year from now, would be my guess. I also think they love Surtain. I think they thought he was a franchise cornerback. You know what Denver reminds me of with you?
What's that?
And this has actually happened. So this is from experience with us. In Vegas, blackjack table, you get demolished, you leave. I refuse to leave because I'm a psycho. Mm-hmm. Table turns, we're all winning. It's great. We got this dealer. It's a big party. You wander back. We're like, come sit down. It's but we're on a run. You're like, no. And you just kind of sadly watch as we win for another hour.
Right.
That's going to be the Broncos with you this year.
That's it. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
You're going to be just standing 5 feet away, kind of pacing back and forth as I'm hitting blackjacks with Teddy Bridgewater.
You've put me in that very uncomfortable position as a friend many times where I'm off, I'm out, and like I have to decide. Like, am I a dick as a friend if I don't sit back with him, or am I going to lose my kid's tuition here? Like, and then whereas I'm just like standing, waiting for you to lose, like rooting for you to lose the last three hands. Like,
and I won't. I'll just keep fighting.
He doubled down and he won and he kept winning.
It's like how you bullied me to be in the fantasy draft again.
How dare you?
Kansas City over under 12.5. I got to say, I got to go under. That's a lot of wins. 12.5. They have to go 13-4. Their schedule's not easy. They start out Browns at Ravens, Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
They get to play the Bills. They're on night. They have a bunch of night games. They have a Raiders on a Monday night. They got their division's tough. I don't know.
Yeah, 5 prime time plus the AFC North plus at Tennessee, Green Bay, and Buffalo. But again, like this is one of those weird things where they were 14-2 last year and kind of coasted, right? They didn't cover any of those games down the stretch, kind of did just what they needed to do to win. 14-2, and their over under is 12.5, like, and there's an extra game, but you're right. Everyone's gunning for them. I see 12-5, which should be plenty enough to win the division, but I still like them under.
Plus, they have the Broncos week 18. Warren Sharp pointed this out because he liked the Broncos over too. And it was like that week 18 is against the Chiefs. That'll be a tough game. Well, it actually might not be. That might be the game where the Chiefs rest everyone on the team. So the Chiefs could be 12-4 going into that last game. They've got the division wrapped up and then nobody plays and they could finish 12-5.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we had it last year, but there's only one bye now. So maybe that week 17, I forgot to even look at it, or week 18 as it is now, you do start put your starters in there because you have less of a lock on the conference. Maybe the Bills are also 12. I don't know. I like it under.
Vegas 6.5. I went under just because their schedule terrified me and somebody's got to be bad in this division. But I think every year we have that frisky 6-10 team, 5-11 team that couple breaks, it could have been much better. It feels like it's them this year. I could see them at 6-11, 5-12, but they led 10 games in the fourth quarter and only won 2 of them. They have that kind of vibe to me.
I'll tell you what. Uh-oh. The Raiders are a playoff team.
Wow!
Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh my
God. I have 3 playoff teams from each West division, the NFC and the AFC.
The Raiders, make the case. Let's hear it.
This is it. Well, first of all, Gruden needs to turn it around, right? He's 19-29. They gave him $40 million. They started off 6-3, right? There's always something weird with them, and they lose the one-score games. I think they're on the other end of the one-score games. They went 2-5 down the stretch. They only had 1 winning record in 18 years. Yeah, they have a tough schedule. They add Drake. They add John Brown. They had Snead. I know people don't like Leatherwood, but they scored at least 30 points in 8 games. And their defense, Gus Bradley, you know, I think they're good. I really think 5 of their 6 defensive were their draft picks were defensive players. I like them.
This is Simmons, great.
They're winning 9 games.
So I have the Chargers in your Raiders spot.
I have them winning 9 also. I think they make the playoffs.
I have the Chargers at 11. So basically the same logic. So we both think there's going to be a good team coming out of this division that's not Kansas City. I think the Chargers are going to be excellent. Mm-hmm. They check a lot of my boxes. The really good rookie now in his second year. I always feel like that second year leap is sitting there. I like their draft. The new coach, how many wins is Staley going to be? Staley was fucking awesome on the Rams. Like that was the guy... I couldn't wait to see him as a head coach.
There's a lot of pressure.
Derwin James
favorite.
Is back.
How is he the favorite to win coach of the year? Isn't that a lot of pressure for a rookie?
There's a lot of buzz.
He's not paying attention to the odds probably, but that's...
Yeah, I don't think he knows.
Yeah. I have them 9-8. I know. They're everyone's darling, and they're going to compete with the Chiefs. But when
I think
you
it's
down,
legit. I think it's like Browns and Bills last year, where sometimes it's like, look, this team's going to be good. Like, we can try to zag the other way, but this team has a lot of talent, and they're going to be good, and they have a really good quarterback. Good coach, yeah. Good quarterback, I'm in.
Do they have a good holder? Because their kicker sucks every year.
They have a new kicker. So I think did you see holder. They have a new guy?
No, but do they have a new holder? Because that's that's bad. I think that's a guy that really screws them, the holder on the team. Yeah, I would just say that they're a 9-8 team. Look, you look at the schedule and you give everyone's wins and losses, and you go Kansas City home for the Raiders. Like, all right, that's gonna be a win. Like Chargers home for the Raiders. Like, oh, I could see them winning that and blowing it. I just don't like the one score game.
You're scarred emotionally from the years of weird Chargers shit.
They've lost 31 games by one score in the last 5 years.
What about
games?
The fact that they have no home field advantage whatsoever?
Yeah, that's not good either. You look up and there's everyone else's jersey in the crowd.
We'll go to a Chargers game this year.
I think we will. Week 2, Cowboys.
Oh, you're going to that one?
I think so, yeah. Yep.
Well, that'll be great. That'll be good for the pod.
That's a night game, right? I think we're going to have to do that from the
It's not a night. The Vegas one's a night one.
Oh, right. The Vegas one. Okay. Yeah. So we got through them all? We got through them all.
So all what's your single favorite over-under? Raiders?
Well, I mean, if you go by my lunatic, it's the Raiders and the Falcons both over. I like, yeah.
Mine is the Pets.
Pets.
Which we'll get to in part two. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go to a part two.
Do we have to do part two? You talk about
the Patriots. Yeah, we have part two. We're going to do a quick $1 million picks, futures, our favorite futures are mine, and you chip in a couple.
All right.
Then guess the lines. Mm-hmm. You're 15. And then a little parent corner, and we're good to go. Part one was produced by Kyle Creighton. We'll see you in part two. It will be up right after this one.